your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. How many chapters are there in the book of Genesis? How many chapters are there in the book of Genesis? I'll give you a hint. We're halfway through. 50. As I don't know if y'all do this or not, but when I start a new book, I'll write in the first front of my Bible when we started. Did anybody else do that? Right here at Genesis. Do y'all know when we started through this book? Anybody else write it? Nobody else wrote it? Deborah's going. Deborah, you see it? No, that's not what I have. I have November 6th. Who's got 13th? So you've got two that have got 13th? Okay, I'll change mine. Of 2016? Somebody else have a different? Okay, yeah, I did do the overview on the 6th. We've been doing this for almost 2 years now, and we're halfway through. Y'all excited? Boy, I can feel the enthusiasm. Genesis 25. Last week we listened as Abraham was spoken of for the last time. The last deeds of the faithful servant of God were recorded. We learned that at the ripe old age of between, now I kept saying 110, I had 110 in my head last week and it was wrong, but in the ripe old age of 130, between 137 and 140 years old, Abraham married again and had 6 more sons and could have had more daughters as well. We just don't know. 137 to 140 years old. He had more. Dan, can you imagine that? Ain't no way. As this may have sounded odd to some of us, which it did, for a person to marry at this age and then have children, this is a true blessing from God. God was showing all the people of that region His favor with Abraham for a man of that age to still be able to father a child. And God was fulfilling the promise to Abraham to bless him with descendants that would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. We learned that the life of Abraham lived and the brevity of what we see recorded impacted the lives of people all throughout Scripture and is still impacting both Jews and Christians today. Now tonight we're going to look at family records of his firstborn son, Ishmael. So let's look at Genesis chapter 25, verses 12. These are the family records of Abraham's son, Ishmael, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's slave, bore to Abraham. These are the name of Ishmael's sons. Their names, according to the family records, are Nebaioth, Ishmael's firstborn, then Kedar, Adbel, Misam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jatar, Nabesh, and Kedma. Now, how would you like to have all those kids come to your house at Christmas and try to write all their stuff on it? These are Ishmael's sons, and these are their names by their villages and encampments, 12 leaders of their clans. This is the length of Ishmael's life, 137 years. He took his last breath and died and was gathered to his people. And they settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt as you go towards Ashur. He lived in opposition to all his brothers. Let's pray. Father, as we continue in our study of the book of Genesis tonight, Lord, we pray that you would be with us. God, I pray that you would open our eyes and a lot of the material that we are going through tonight. So a lot of it's repetitive, Lord, but I pray that you would help us to see ourselves, even in these short verses tonight. Help us to see our place. Help us to see how we can be greater servants for you, Lord. Pray that you'd bless us with your presence, and we'd feel your presence throughout the service, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. At this point, I have to ask, and I told you it was going to be somewhat of a genealogical study, and a lot of it's going to be a reminder, some stuff that we went through, Journey Through the Bible, when I first came here. How many of y'all went through Journey Through the Bible on Wednesday nights when we first came here? Raise your hand high, let me see. Okay. some of the youth, I think all the youth went through the journey through the Bible, and I think one Sunday school class taught it, but we touched on the genealogies then a little bit. So why all these genealogies? I mean, we see them throughout Scripture from time to time. The most prevalent one is the one I gave reference to this morning, the book of Matthew chapter 1. Why all these genealogies? Well, commentator Henry Morris says that it's most likely that Isaac is the one who inserted the genealogical record of Ishmael into the family into his family records. This idea of writing down the family names of births and deaths has no real inception in history, or is it a mandate or command seen in any scripture? Yet it could be said that keeping such records was an inspired tradition from God, as God has and will in the future Scripture use such records to both for the Jewish nation and against the Jewish nation. I mean, they kept these binding records, and it was a very prideful thing. And God used them in a mighty way for the Jew and against the Jew. And even today, a lot of the Jews hold on to tradition, and they hold on to family records. Now, their family records have been slashed, and we'll get to that here in a couple minutes. But they're very, very, very prideful and arrogant when it concerns genealogy and their family records. Now, we do know that these records are most beneficial to the Jewish nation, especially to those who served in the temple and those who were prideful Jews. The further back a Jew could trace his ancestry, the more prominent his standing would be in the body of Jews in the daily life of the temple. For a Jewish man to be able to trace his ancestry back to Abraham was a tremendously big deal. Those who could claim certain people as their family members were allowed to get closer to the holies of holy on certain days of the year and serve in the temple. On those days, these men went into the presence of God and offered sacrifice. One such man is recorded in the New Testament Scripture, Zechariah and the book of Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we'll read of an instance of a person who has such genealogical records. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Scripture says, "In the days of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well on in years. When his division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing right to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear." So we see that Zechariah, and you see he names some of his descendants there, but he was given special privileges because of his status and his genealogical records. Now, we know that those who could trace their family record all the way back to Abraham are given the most respect and authority in the Jewish community. Now, these genealogies are also very beneficial to the point the Jewish nation, as they point the Jewish nation to Jesus, being the righteous Jew as seen in Matthew chapter 1. We see the line of Jesus going all the way back to Abraham in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew was written to the Jews, as we talked about this morning. So for this book to begin with the record of Christ would be a tremendous resource to the Jewish nation. Not to be outdone, though, Luke traces Jesus' family records all the way back to who? Adam. Adam. Now think. Was this a tremendous respect issue I mean, it was almost like a tattoo people have, or a necklace, or some sort of adornment that you wear. I mean, it's something that you would brag about to your friends and your relatives, and people would talk about in the community. Oh, Mr. White, he can trace his genealogy all the way back to Samson, or about, you know, to anybody. But, you know, Jesus had two genealogical records. One in the book of Matthew that took him all the way back to Abraham, and that was important to the Jew. Now, Luke took his genealogy all the way back to Adam. Is there anybody before Adam? Oh, no. No. Nope. Now, what we can take away from this short lesson on family records is that when the Romans burnt Jerusalem, and more importantly, the temple in AD 70, all records were burnt in that temple. Family had their own private records, but just about everything was destroyed by the Romans. Those who were spared, the people who weren't killed in Jerusalem, were taken into captivity or dispersed through their countries immediately. They couldn't go back to their houses. They couldn't go back to where they lived and grab these genealogies and grab these records. They were running for their lives, their very lives, when the Romans came in and burned Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem was destroyed. What does this mean? As of the day of this day, there is only one Jew who can trace his genealogy all the way back to Abraham, and only one who can trace his records all the way back to Adam. This man is through Jewish tradition, their own tradition, should be considered the Jew who is the most righteous to enter the holies of holies, where the presence of God meets with man. And that person is Jesus. This should have set the Jewish nation on fire. Not literally, but on fire for the Lord. But it still hasn't registered with them. To this day, it has not registered with them the righteousness of God and His holiness, and how He is the only person who is righteous enough to stand in the holies of holy with God. And can I tell you something? Can I tell you where Jesus is right now? He is standing in the holy presence of God. Now, He didn't have to have the genealogy to earn that right. He earned that right because He was the Son of God. But because He is the Son of God, He proves to the world every single day that He is righteous enough to stand where He stands. People say, I can't understand Jesus. I don't see Him. I don't feel Him. Scripture has validated Jesus thoroughly with every person who has ever lived, including, and most importantly, the Jewish nation. They have no reason but pride and arrogance to accept Jesus as their Savior. Now, as we consider the genealogical records of Ishmael tonight, commentator Henry Morris says, the specific sons of Ishmael have been hard to identify archaeologically, although there is little doubt that most or all of them settled in general regions of central and north central Arabia. Now, as I told y'all a few weeks ago, Ishmael, if you look in the book of Genesis, especially when you see Abraham offering Isaac, in the Quran, it's not Isaac that's being offered. Who is Abraham offering in the Quran? Ishmael. Ishmael is the righteous son. He is the righteous son, not in our Bible, but in the Muslim Bible, the Quran. That they hold him to the highest standards. He is a mini god in their eyes. They hold him very dear. They celebrate Ishmael's birth and special days considering Ishmael. But it's not so in the eyes of Scripture. It's not. Now, Isaac, after inserting Ishmael's genealogies that we just read in his own family records, then also records Ishmael's death. He died at the age of 137 years old, 58 years after, before Isaac would die. Now, we really know very little about this man, Ishmael. We know that he was the firstborn to Abraham, yet he was not the heir to Abraham. We know that he caused suffering to Sarah just for being alive, and that he was removed from the family when Isaac was weaned. We know that he was at some point, to the point of death, and God spared, God saved his life with a spring in a dry place, and that God promised to make a nation of people from Ishmael. We know that Muslims today worship the memory of Ishmael as he is considered their heir to Abraham. But a lingering question has loomed over this man probably since his death. Was Ishmael a child of God? Those who cling to or hold to his allegiance are not. But Ishmael, was Ishmael a child of God? Is there anything that we can see, anything at all tonight that we can see that points us to make some sort of a conclusion whatsoever at all? I believe there is. Now, first of all, we don't know of the true salvation of the person who's sitting next to us, right? We really don't know. Brother Phil, you don't know about Miss Shirley. There's a lot of things we question about Miss Shirley, isn't there? We just don't know. We don't know. And listen, we don't know for certain as to whether or not Ishmael was a child of God until we reach heaven ourselves, but we do see something in Scripture tonight that may give us an indication as to where Ishmael is today. We may lean towards him being in heaven just a little more when we see that Isaac wrote that Ishmael was gathered unto his people. Did y'all see that? Y'all might want to underline that in your Bible, because we'll probably see that as we go on through the Old Testament in days to come. Commentator Henry Morris says this: Scripture says that Ishmael, just like Abraham, was gathered unto his people. This suggests that, though not sharing the material aspects of the Abrahamic covenant, Ishmael was a believer in the God of Abraham and shared in the spiritual blessings of all who die in the true faith. Now, this is what Isaac wrote. Church, listen to me. Could it have been a sentimental thing that, you know, he was his brother, and he wasn't real close with his brother growing up, and when he died, he wanted to just honor his brother? And could it have been something like that? Do we do anything like that in our tradition today, in our culture today? Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I've had family members, personal family members, that lived like, I'm talking just, they lived like hell on earth. They really did. And as soon as they died, oh, he's in heaven. He is in heaven. He's looking down on us right now. He is our angel. Now, let me address the angel thing. I want to address the angel thing so often. There's no human being who has ever died ever it turns into an angel, right? Totally different being. We are nobody's angel. We're not. Now, do we have angels? Scripture says that there's angels all around us. Okay? Will we ever be? No, we'll never be angels. Could it be that Isaac was just sentimental? I don't know. I can't tell you. We know very little about this man, Ishmael. We do know this at the very end. At the very end of what we just read, it says, and they settled in Havilah to Shur, which is opposite of Egypt, as you go towards Ashur. He lived in opposition to all his brothers. There was opposition. Do you realize that his line and his lineage has always opposed the Jewish nation? To this day, Ishmael's line has always opposed the Jewish nation. Will that ever end? Will that ever end? After the 7 years tribulation, when Christ comes to return for 1,000 years millennial reign, yes, it will end then. But until then, they will always, always be at odds with each other. Now, let me ask, church, personally, think about yourself. Don't look or think about anybody besides you or who's with you. Don't think of the person who lives down the street and say, boy, I wish old so-and-so was here. He is a bad dude. She's terrible. Think about you right now. Listen. What will your family records say about you when you die? What will your family records say about you when you die? Now, you might not have a written tradition, but there'll be oral tradition. People will be talking about you. Yesterday was my father's birthday. My sister came into town Friday, and we talked a little bit about my dad. He would have been 78 years old yesterday. We talked about him. That's oral tradition. What will family records say about you when you're gone? What will people say about the life you lived when you were gone? You know, I imagine that when Ishmael lived, I imagine there was probably quite a bit of resentment in his life because he was pushed away from his father and all he knew as a child, and just pushed out in the wilderness. He almost died, almost, you know, just dehydrated. I bet there was some resentment. Scripture tells us that there was always opposition against him, he and his brothers. What's your family record going to be? What are people going to talk about you? What's going to be written and said about you? Let me just ask this. Will your life be so well lived that you'll be remembered? I honestly can tell you, I think there's a lot of Christians, they live in such a silent, quiet, sheltered life that when they die, weeks after their death, they'll be forgotten because they never impacted the world around them. Will you impact the world? Will you live for Jesus? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this scripture tonight. Lord, we thank you that Isaac did record Ishmael's genealogies and a little bit about his life. God, because we know who Ishmael represents. And God, right now, I pray for the Muslim nation. God, you seem to be doing a mighty work in some of the foreign countries that are heavily Muslim. We're seeing a lot of Muslims come to you as their personal Savior. And Lord, we're thankful for that. And God, we pray that you would help us to be vehicles of love. Lord, those who have come to America, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to love them to you. You've brought them to our mission field and help us to be witness to them. Help us to show them that you are the only way. God, we thank you for who you are and how much you love us. Be with us now during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?